Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Justice, a podcast exploring all areas of the justice system, with me, prison philanthropist and founder of One Small Thing, Edwina Grosvenor.
In this episode, I speak to Peter Sullivan from the organisation Chess in Schools and Communities, who facilitates chess clubs in male and female prisons. Peter also trained and organised the England team that participated in the World Prison Chess Championship.
I'm Peter Sullivan. I'm a volunteer with Chess in Schools and Communities, and I run the chess club at Wandsworth Prison.
So how on earth did you get into running chess clubs in prison, first of all?
I actually read a couple of articles. There's somebody in Italy who does something very similar. I've been doing it for much longer. And now we're friends, actually, but I just read the article. There's a couple of quite inspirational examples in the US. And I retired, thought, what would be useful to do? I like playing chess. And it all went from there, really.
Okay, and it's an extension, did you say, of Chess in Schools that you were involved in anyway? Or
yes. Yeah. Chess in Schools is a charity, and it's in over 300 schools.
Okay.
And before the pandemic, 6 prisons. So it's been going for about 11 years. And the big thing about it is it wants the whole class. It gets part of the curriculum. So it's not just sort of boys who want to play chess. It's everybody in the class who gets the chance and really enjoys it.
And that's interesting because you sort of mentioned boys, and I'm sure lots of people listening might have the same view, which is chess more for men and boys? You know, because I think traditionally it's been seen that way. Are you seeing many more girls getting sort of interested in chess?
Oh,
or
yes.
Or is it still a...
Yes.
Oh, no, male-dominated.
Definitely, traditionally, it was dominated by men.
Yeah.
That's changed a lot. The Queen's Gambit had a lot to do with that, certainly. And I think just going online has helped with that, I think. So, there's some very, very good women's chess players, and some of them have actually come in, visited Wandsworth to play the men. That's changing a lot. And this month... We've actually, we're doing some trial sessions at Bronzefield, the women's prison. Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. So tell me about how it sort of works in prison. What type of men, we'll talk about the men first, because as you say, you've only just started sort of working in one women's prison. But what type of men would you have playing chess? How do they hear about you? How do they get such a sort of... perk, if you like, to be able to play?
I mean, it's very interesting because it was very much trial and error. When we started, we had no idea who would be interested. And actually, we were told to go and stand next to the dinner queue, and we got next to the meds queue. So we got a very interesting group.
How interesting.
First off, yeah.
And had you been in a prison before out of interest?
I hadn't.
So that must have been quite something because they can be quite chaotic. The medication line and the lunch queue.
Yes, chaos would be... It's been about 4 years now, so I'm getting over the shock.
God, talk about being thrown in the deep end.
It's a shock at the beginning. Yeah, yeah. My wife said I was visibly shocked when I came out the first time.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. So you're standing there, and as people are sort of, getting angry because they're sort of hungry or because they need their medication, you're there going, would anyone like to play chess?
Yeah, we set up a chess set, and then people, because we were different, it was, it's just something different in a prison, people came over. But I think what's really struck me is the range of people we get. We've had a couple with PhDs, a couple who earned first-class degrees in prison, and a good number can't read and write. I think I think something I've learned is wonderful about chess is that people can pick it up from all backgrounds, all angles. So it doesn't really make any difference to whether they're good chess players.
Right. But we so you get can be completely illiterate range. And be able to play.
Yes. There's just what I'm learning a huge amount by doing this.
Yeah.
And as you see people who can't play, Bronsfield was a good example, actually. People just have a sight of the board. They seem to get the way the pieces move together and interact with each other. And yeah, I see no correlation between academic ability and chess playing ability. We've got some fantastic players who I think would struggle to, would struggle to read and write. Yeah.
And there must be something in the sort of the quietness of the game and the fact that you have to be thoughtful. And is there something that's important about that on the chaos of a wing?
The men say that. I think that is true. They've said that, prison, it's got to be quite a harsh environment, I think. And it's the chess club's a bit gentler because you want to stop talking and think about your next move. So it tends to be I don't like it if it's silent. I want the people to enjoy themselves and feel free to, to talk. There's a bit of chat and that's great. And very educational, actually. We can teach that way. But it is gentler and quieter. There was during the pandemic, I'm sure there were times when, at the worst of it, that the prisoners were locked up for 23 and a half hours a day, half an hour out. You can imagine the pandemonium. They want a shower, they want, personal stuff, whatever they've run out of, they want to get because they've got half an hour, not of freedom, but out of their cell to get something.
Right.
There was a man with autism and he just got very distressed at loud noises and wouldn't come out of his cell. And the officers obviously realised that and were thinking about what they could do. And his mum had sent him in a chess set. So they came up to me and they said, will you play chess against him? And I got him into first of all, it was just me and him. And then we got at that time, there was a big issues with mixing and safety. So I think 6 or 8 people. And he wouldn't stop talking. It was fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And you only ever get glimpses. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went. Wandsworth is a local prison, so it's quite a high turnover. But he did seem to enjoy the sessions. And I loved it because the officers, they call me sir, which I think is very funny.
Well, the officers do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there was no sentimentality. It was just, we've got a problem. His mum sent him a chess set. You play chess. Let's try that. So it was fantastic, really. So it is a bit quieter. Relative. It's not quiet, but it's quieter than just when you're out on the wing. Yeah.
And how long do you get with the men? Because does this form part of education time? As you say, time out of cell can be quite low at the minute. We're coming out of the COVID, but different prisons are on different regimes, aren't they, at the moment? So how long would you normally have with a man or woman?
It's about 2 hours. I feel very lucky at Wandsworth because we got the support of the senior management and the officers let me do it on the wings. So we can't mix wings because of the pandemic. So we used to run a club in the chapel and it used to go on for 3 hours, but not many would stay for the full 3 hours, but they could actually come and go. But now it's 3 of the 8 wings. But because we can't mix a wing, so we have to go onto the wings. And we get about 2 hours with them. One lovely room. Yeah, all the rooms are okay. All the rooms are fine because the lovely thing about chess is you just need a table. We don't always have chairs, but that's okay. They use packing cases and things and they don't care. You get the chess set out, they're playing.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to make the most of what you have.
Yes.
What differences? I know it's early days in the women's prisons, but what differences have you seen initially with chess with the women and chess with the men, if anything, actually?
That's so difficult because it would be so easy to make generalisations, and you're right, I've only been in twice at Bronsfield. I think one difference I've noticed, there's a confidence. If I go onto a wing in Wandsworth, 4 people are convinced they're the best players, which is wonderful.
Is that a male thing?
I'll leave that to you. At Bronsfield, one of the players said she didn't want to come because she thought it was just for intelligent people with high IQs and that wasn't her, when actually I suspect she's very intelligent but decided it was sort of above her. So it was quite interesting. And she did say she enjoyed it at the end. That's quite different.
So the women take a bit more coaxing, do they, to get involved?
I think that's the That's what I'm learning after two visits. It's difficult to know, because as I say, the start at Wandsworth wasn't bump free, and we so it was. It took a bit of go, you know, a bit of time to get the numbers up there. So, but I think probably they would need a bit more coaxing. But the real positive thing about Bronzefield is that the senior management are actively involved. They come into the club, talk to the players, talk to us, and that. Well, I think the fact that the players seem to enjoy it, the fact that the management are involved, and it's a fantastic room. It's one of the best rooms I've played chess in or out of a prison. The visits hall is just a wonderful space. So I think, and I don't mind if they want to come across just because they enjoy a nice being in a nice space. That's fine.
Yeah. You know,
it's doing some good. They don't have to be the next grandmaster.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's one thing about chess, but, you know, there must be so many broader skills that people get, and these sort of unintended consequences that maybe come from just that game. As you say, it's given a reason for the senior management team to come down and socialise, people having a nice time together, which can often be difficult in prisons. You know, nice times can sometimes be few and far between, can't they? So
exactly, yeah. I mean, one of the things I've learned is that just how hard it is to be a prison officer. I mean, the you're doing at least two jobs and many more than that all at the same time. So there's a security aspect, there's a welfare aspect, and they're all thrown in together. And I think the opportunity to come and, yeah, have that sort of... there's no agenda. They just come on chat. And if they talk about, you know, whether to take with a knight or a bishop, that's fine. They're not, you know, it's not consequential. It's just a chance to have a civilised conversation. And some of the officers... I'm sure some think it's a huge pain because we do disrupt. We want people out of their cells. But some of them...
And, of course, then the officers have to go and unlock them, don't they?
Exactly.
Often
yes.
Times that are...
Yes, at times that aren't great. Yes, and I've made mistakes there. But some of them come into actively, governors and officers. I think that is the secret at Wandsworth, that they enough of them support it, that they do support it, that it just seems to work there. Come in and play and chat and have a bit of banter and... yes, they. If an officer gets beaten, they threaten the guys with all sorts of things.
Oh, really?
They don't like being beaten.
Healthy competition.
Nobody
so
likes being beaten.
So the officers play as well, do they? Or do they not have the time to sit down and play? Is it more you and other members?
Most of the time, they just rushed off their feet. They don't have time. Occasionally, they can. Friday afternoons tends to be a little bit quieter. I think it's usually for religious services, but at the moment, with no mixing, it's very difficult to do that. So it's actually a very quiet time. And people from education, governors, officers, I wouldn't say it's very frequent, but they do come and play, and everyone seems to enjoy that.
And how often are you in the prisons? Or how often would you be in Wandsworth, for example, over the course of a month?
Right. Well, the standard thing is we try and do a weekly club, but at the moment we're doing three. So Thursday morning,
three
Friday
weekly
morning.
Clubs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thursday morning, Friday morning, Friday afternoon.
Right. So there's a real appetite.
Yeah. A wing, B wing and D wing. So the other wings complain.
Yeah.
I've had an email from C wing this morning, actually. But it's difficult with that. Yes, exactly. It's difficult with the... with the mixing, but hopefully, you know, all the rules are there for good reasons. People have to be safe, but hopefully that will ease up soon and we can get back. The chapel, it's a big room, it's a nice place. We can get, at the moment we're getting 10, 12, 16 on a good day in the biggest room. We used to get 25, 30, 43 was our biggest. But Stafford, there's an officer at Stafford that runs a chess club and he's got 66. So I'm hugely jealous. I'm desperate to go up there and visit and just see them and, yeah, see if we can support them. I mean, they've done that entirely themselves.
Yeah. And I suppose the nice thing is, because often there can be a problem, can't there, of outside agencies coming in, whether they're charities or sort of whoever. But what's so lovely about this is you can teach people to play. And if you're not there, as long as they have a chessboard, they can be playing with other men on the wings, can they?
You see, I think that's one of the advantages of chess. If you ask people standard, why play chess? Then they'd say, oh, well, it's a game of consequences. You can think ahead. In fact, the men say that. Radio 1-0 interviewed some of the players, and that's exactly what they said. They talked about patience, thinking ahead, a gym for the brain, one of them said. And I wonder, all that's true, I think, and I think perfectly valid. But it's fun. They don't come because they want to, and you know, be better at logic. They come because they want to beat the guy in the next cell.
Yeah.
So, and they can do that when, if they can get out with association. The other thing is that even if they're on a single cell on their own and locked up, there are, we've done, well, they can get chess material, and they can, as long as they've got a board and a set, they can go through that. So during the pandemic, we've actually been emailing between 25 and 30 prisons puzzles. I think we're up to about 240, so there's plenty of them, just to take, you know, relieve the boredom, give people some time. And the Quaker chaplain is a force of nature at Wandsworth and has bought literally hundreds of chess sets. So when you come in, you get offered a chess set, backgammon, dominoes, cards, and a lot take chess sets. So there's plenty of sets. There's not a huge opportunity to play, but it's getting better.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're in a cell with another person, then, you know, that does give you the opportunity if you get on with each other, which, of course, not all of them do.
Yes.
But that's something quite nice that can be done in those awful sort of long hours of bang up.
What I really love is when I see people improving. They can be awful and get a bit less awful, or they can be wonderful and get a bit more wonderful.
I think I'm in that category. Yeah. I need improving. Some serious help.
The ones that improve the most are the ones where there's two people who get the bug and want to play chess in the same cell. And in fact, one of them, he said he wasn't leaving until he'd got, because I think there were 153, 149 in games. They played about 300 games. And he wasn't leaving until he got ahead. So I think he was 2 weeks to leaving. But yeah, that's wonderful when that happens. But even if it doesn't, if you've got puzzles, games, books, and we teach you the notation, then that's something you can do in your cell. I hope that's helped. I think it has helped.
Well, because of course, free time, they say, is the devil's playground, don't they? So I think, you know, the more of this stuff, the better, really. Tell me about the Chess World Champions.
Oh, this was wonderful. We started running a weekly club. You know, if we can get people to play, interest them, just relieve a bit of boredom, that's great. And then, out of the blue, we got contacted by Cook County State Penitentiary in Chicago.
Right.
A wonderful guy, Michael Coronman, Dr. Coronman, who is full-time enrichment specialist, but a chess player in Cook County Jail. And they are pioneers of playing, using chess to help and getting games against other prisons. They'd played against the Russians, they'd played against Armenians, they'd played within, I think there was different counties in the US. But he was going to organise this world championship. This is 2019. There's huge problems with that. You need the internet. Well, that's forbidden.
So, yes.
So we worked, the first championship, we came last. We lost every game. We won some individual matches, but we lost every game. But we couldn't directly access the internet to play, so it was all very complicated.
And when you say we, do you mean Wandsworth Prison?
Yeah. Well, this was England, but Wandsworth, because that's where we got the sort of the permission to do it.
Okay.
So it,
okay.
Made in Wandsworth. That was entirely Wandsworth. There's a second tournament, a warm-up tournament early in 2021, where the lockdown was just too severe. We couldn't even compete. And then October, we had the tournament. And the support from everybody, the whole prison has got to get behind that. The officers on the wing, the guys have got to get let out of their cells. It's the officers that do that. The governors, the education team, the people who allowed us to, under very, very strict conditions, use the internet, all had to be behind it. It was months of planning, cajoling, begging. It was brilliant, actually. We had a squad of six. We got two prisons, Holsley Bay in Suffolk and Wandsworth. So a squad of six, two prisons, but one team, two prisons, one team. And it was so exciting. First day, we won 19 games out of 20.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're feeling good. Now, this is the team that played seven, lost seven.
Right.
So there was no...
There was no expectation.
No. I remember telling one of the governors, we finally got permission very shortly before the tournament. And she said, oh, great, now you can, there's 41 teams in it. Now you can come last out of 41, was the comment.
Oh, charming.
So expectations were right down. We won 19 out of 20. We're dreaming. Second of 2 days, you get put in much harder. You get put in two groups. We avoided the Russians, who are the best in the world at chess. The first game against Argentina. So these guys, I had a guy, he had not been off Bravo Wing for 18 months. he's playing somebody in Argentina.
On the internet.
It was massively restricted, but we're playing. We got lucky. I was convinced we were going to lose that game, and we came out winning it. And then the word went around the world that the Russians had been beaten. Now, they have won every prison competition ever. The warm-up, they won every match 4-0. So they won every single game.
So you did end up beating the Russians?
We didn't beat the Russians. Someone else, I think it was the Philippines, beat the Russians.
Okay.
We beat Argentina.
Okay.
And I remember the kiss of death was, I said to the governor one, I just want to warn you, we might be the world champions. And
it's like, hold on, prisons don't do good news. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I thought I'd better warn him because he might want to hide it. Exactly, yeah. The guys were up, you know, we were winning. We lost a close game to the US. Wonderful team. And in fact, if I was going to lose to anyone, I'd like it to be the US because the Cook County organised it. And then we got wiped out by North Macedonia. And then we won a couple of games, but you need to win the group. So we couldn't quite make it back. We were, 7th out of 41. We were 7th out of 7 the first time, so we're still 7th. So we'll see how we go. But it was a great experience, actually. It was quite funny because I got quite emotional about it. The men, not at all. I mean, they've had much worse things happen to them than lose a game of chess. So they enjoyed it. I think the thing I took away from it the most is how much like a work process it was. We had a date. We had to be ready or not. Like if you had a big conference or a book coming out or a deadline, we had a date. We had problems to solve. We had interim targets. We had, you know, research to do. We were researching the other teams. We were working out our tactics, working out how we play. And it was all the things you would do in a work environment. And they rose to the challenge fantastically. I think one silly example of that is that you sort of need six impossible things before breakfast. This is a well-run B-category prison, and we needed to get the men out at lunchtime. Impossible. Yeah. We needed the internet. Impossible. We needed Zoom. Impossible. So it was... Now, Zoom, I remember saying to them, we need Zoom. Oh, don't worry about that. Leave it to us. We'll sort something out. And then I had a feeling in the pit of my stomach. I thought, what are they going to do? And they came up with this ridiculous idea that we had someone outside the prison on Zoom. They had a mobile. They'd phone the library, landline. Someone would walk across, tap on the partition where we were playing. We'd get the message and it would go back the same way. So it's like, you know, Internet Superhighway meets the Pony Express. It was so ridiculous, you'd never do it. It worked.
Yeah.
And actually, I was actually proud because the organisers... Every prison in the world's got the same problem. I don't think there's many that are going to allow Zoom. They called it the English solution.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah, in the 70s, I can remember the English disease, sort of, you know, but I can't remember. You know, it was wonderful that it was the English solution. 100% the men came up with that. It was fantastic.
It just shows you, doesn't it, sort of, and it's so heartwarming to hear about it because it just shows you what's possible when everyone pulls together. And as you say, it's very difficult to get everyone on the same page wanting the same thing to happen. But it sounds like through chess, you sort of created this sort of environment where everyone was pulling in the same direction. And then when everyone is pulling in the same direction, amazing things can happen.
Anything can happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, the teamwork. Yeah. The officers, the governors. I mean, Horsley Bate, one of the best players, in fact, the best player. He was the best player in the whole tournament, actually. Individual player, but obviously it was
from
a team
Hollisley
event.
Bay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was at Wandsworth. So I can remember going down on the train thinking, and I was going to explain this tournament, we need the internet, we need practice, we need all this, that, and the other. And I just thought, I'm wasting my time. There's no way they're going to go for this. But the education team, the head of reducing reoffending listened, which was wonderful, and got behind it. And it was fantastic. So we had Wandsworth, all the problems of a Category B prison were solved. Then we had two prisons together. It's a wonderful event. I mean, next year it's going to be even better. This year it's going to be even better because there's the tournament. There's a women's tournament, which we couldn't enter last year, so I'm hoping Bronzefield will be there.
Oh, great. And what month does that happen?
Well, it was October last year, so I'm hoping it's going to be October again. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's an under-21 tournament as well. So we got some young offenders. I also was I did the chess club at ISIS before the pandemic, so I'm hoping we can get them or another young offenders institution on board, so we could have three teams.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, out of interest, is this funded? Because I think, you know, we have a mixture of listeners, and some people might be into chess, into prisons, but some people might be listening who might be philanthropists or have a trust and foundation. You never know. So out of interest, how is your work funded, and does any of it come from the Ministry of Justice?
Yes, it does. During the pandemic, it was all entirely on a voluntary basis. So we were down to basically two prisons, and it was all voluntary. We sent email puzzles to 25 prisons. We sent hundreds of chess sets out. All that was done on a purely voluntary basis. But the standard approach, which is the same for chess in schools and communities with the schools, is that we get a trained chess tutor. We pay them, and we get the money back from the prison. That's the plan A, if you like. Yeah, there's big advantages to that. You get better quality people, they're trained, and the prisoners, what I've learned is the thirst to learn. What's really good is when they want to show improvement, see improvement, and I think that structure works well. So at the moment, it's all voluntary, but as the pandemic eases, we're moving to sort of basically not-for-profit. So we pay a tutor, we recoup the money where we can, yeah.
And out of interest, you know, you talked about that sort of rather wonderful yet chaotic image of sort of being by the lunch queue or by the medication queue. And have you ever felt sort of scared in that environment? Lots of people who listen might not have been in a prison, might not quite understand the level of chaos that you and I know.
Yeah.
Have there been any examples of times where you sort of think,
there have been a few. I mean, what I would compare it to, I used to walk down Mawson High Street to get the train to work, and every now and again there'd be, I remember someone smashing a shop window, there was people fighting, and it gets a bit scary. And I think the prison is the same. I think it would be wrong to pretend it's a wonderful, happy environment where everything's fine. I think you need a level of caution, but pretty rarely. I'm quite lucky at Wandsworth, is that some very impressive physical specimens like playing chess. I think they'd be upset if they didn't. So yeah. I think that helps. And the office is obviously very professional and being very cautious as well. But there was a time, and the funny thing about it, this was actually at ISIS. It was all in my own head. It's a big atrium. It's a modern prison, big atrium. It felt like 40. It might have been 25 people coming out for the gym. Like, that's quite a formidable sight. The guys who want to go to the gym all queuing to go out. They were on the ground floor. We were up on the first floor in a classroom, but you could see down, and there's a stairway, and one of the guys broke away and just started charging up the stairs. And he was as big back to front as he was round. He was like a barrel. I mean, it's just amazing, like a tree trunk running up the stairs. And like, there was only me and another chess person up there. And so it was us, and we put up a chess board so people could see we were there. He was coming up to us.
thinking, desperate to get to his chess class.
And the door slams open and he goes, I'm going to the gym. But before I go, we've had a massive fight on the spur. I've got to know, does the queen go on its own square? Right. That's not the most difficult chess question. So I should have said, yes, it does. But I sort of went, yes, it does, you know, because I was so pleased. So he goes out. There's all these guys downstairs and he shouts, "Oi, Daryl, you're an idiot. It does go on its own square." Now, that was the night Liverpool were playing a big European game. It was a big football game. And the guys are arguing about chess, which I thought was wonderful. But actually, you didn't call him an idiot, but you can make up your...
exactly. Yeah. For the purposes of the podcast. That's amazing.
But it was all in my head. It was all in my head, the fear. Nothing. Nobody had done anything wrong. He had a question. He wanted it answered. He's probably going to get taken off to the gym. He didn't have much time. So it was so interesting. So it does happen. But I'm a bit... I don't know. Have you been in... You know, there's the morning regime. They all go back in their cells for lunch. Then there's the afternoon regime. But it's a bit like Parliament. The afternoon regime starts when the morning regime finishes, not at a set time. If it's late, I don't know what they hit the cell doors with. They're big steel cell doors. And the noise is just incredible.
What, when they start shutting the doors, do you mean? Or when...
No, when the doors are shut and when the people inside start banging because they want to get out.
Right, yeah.
It's quite impressive. I don't know what they hit them with, but
yeah,
and
quite disconcerting at times, yeah. Well, isn't it?
Yeah. So I don't. That's a bit. I sort of think, well, if those hinges spring or something, and that person, the blood's up because they're hitting that door really hard. You don't want to be the first person they meet, but generally, no. I mean, I meet very. People want to play chess. They're very keen. They're very polite. They're very almost too polite in a way. But there's no real issues.
And when you started going into Bronzefield, what were the different feelings? Because I certainly, as a female, have different feelings going into a male prison compared to a female prison. Were you sort of taken aback by any of those big differences out of interest? The sort of feeling of the prison and the different kind of energy.
It's so difficult for me to know. Actually, I think you're in a better position to answer that than me, because I mainly know Wandsworth. I've been into Brixton, I've been into Wormwood Scrubs, Victorian prisons, male. But Bronzefield is a modern prison, so it feels very different for a start. It did feel different, but it's too early for me to really know. We had a game this week. These people have only just learned how to play chess. And one of them was playing like 19th century chess masters, like beautiful attacking. All they want to do is to attack. And the other one was actually very much more modern and really quite good at defending. And I've put the game through a computer, brought it home, analysed it. And I could use that 10 times for things that were interesting about the game. So I'm very hopeful about Bronzefield, but it's too early really for me to know.
And that's really interesting, because I don't know a huge amount about chess. My 7-year-old son knows far more about it than I do. But do you talk to them about the narrative around how they play? Because that's really interesting, how some are more attack and some are more defence. And actually, yeah, there could be an amazing narrative around that for the players, that it's not just about moving from this square to that square.
Hugely. It's there's a lot of, particularly the way you start the game is a matter of style. It's like buying a pair of trainers, cap, something like that. There's no right and wrong. It's a matter of taste. You can roll the dice, be very aggressive. You can be very cautious. You can be somewhere between the two. You can mix your styles so people don't know what's coming. And it's very interesting watching that and talking through that with them. And I've got 3 or 4 ways of starting that I use to teach, and I show them all of them and say, look, you pick the one, we can do more on this, but you pick the one that suits you. It's fascinating. The time I love is when they become chess players. And I'm probably being a bit arrogant about that, but you can learn the moves. Like, you haven't got a clue how to play chess. You know how the pieces move. Then you sort of get the idea of how they move together and how they can defend each other, so you don't just leave pieces that someone can take for nothing. But you still don't really know how to plan or anything. But there's a point. I remember one of the early players, the castle, the rook in the corner of the board, it was about move 26, so it was all the pieces have moved from their original position, and he moved it back to its starting point, which is very unusual. 2 or 3 moves later, he snared up one of his opponent's pieces, and it's only what happened 2 or 3 moves time that made that move make sense. When that moment comes, it's very, very rewarding, I have to say. Happens quite a lot. You see it, yeah.
And what are your plans for the future? Would you like to be in more prisons? If money was no issue, if getting into prisons was no issue, and obviously there needs to be quite a lot of chess players like yourself to be able to go in and deliver it. But what if you had a magic wand, would you want this all to look like?
Well, Malcolm
Payne, you can dream as big as you want, because, it's all about imagination.
Malcolm Payne, who runs the charity, wants to be in every school and every prison in the country.
Okay, so there's the ambition.
Yeah. We've got some interest from prisons that we weren't in before the pandemic. So, I'm hoping that we can grow. We were in 6. I'm hoping we can get more than that, get a foothold, grow it from there. People seem to like it. It seems to help relieve the boredom. It seems to help give people something, purposeful to do. And, you can do it in your cell. You can do it outside. If we can grow it, I'll be happy. If we can get in every prison in the country, Malcolm will be happy.
Yeah. So. And what about people on probation? Is there any scope for, I do understand the challenges of people being in the community and maybe on licence, but is that something that could be thought about, or is that too sort of tricky, do you think? Do you think it works better in institutional sort of settings?
Chess in Schools and Communities works in libraries and in old people's homes. And we try anything if we thought it would work, actually. So we haven't done that. But I see no reason why, it could be quite promising. I see no reason why it wouldn't be worth trying.
Chess clubs, exactly, in the community, and a reason for people to get together. Mm. I love the idea of sort of old people's homes as well. And of course, you could play chess anywhere. And as we've talked about before, the multi-generational side of life as well. When I see my seven-year-old son playing with his grandfather, who's in his 80s, you know, it's a really wonderful sight, isn't it?
Yes, it can be played anywhere. The men are so inventive. And during the pandemic, there were points when they couldn't play. They weren't allowed to have a board and touch the pieces and, you know, all the risks of infection. So there's a thing called blindfold chess, where you play without the board. They started doing that. And
what, how do you do that?
Are you actually blindfolded? You could be, or you don't see the board.
Okay.
It's called blindfold chess, but I think literally you just don't have a board, so someone shouts a move. There's chess notation, ways of calling out the chess moves. And actually, when we were practicing for the tournament, it was a day that didn't go so well, the screen went blank. Well, the board went blank on the computer screen that we were playing, and we were just practicing. And one of the guys played, I think he played a guy in Romania. So we're playing on the internet, could be anyone in the world. They're good enough to sign up to a chess website and play. The guy, our man, couldn't see the board. He played 44 moves and won the game. Now, to hold that in your head is
That's just amazing.
This real, if someone can't learn the moves and they learn the moves, that's wonderful. But there is some real talent. And it is interesting watching, and just how inventive the guys are. They don't even need a board. They don't even need to be in the same room. They'll play.
Yeah, and I suppose it's sort of those sorts of settings where you just have to make do sometimes. You know, challenges are put before them that we might not experience on the outside.
Yes, yes.
And you've just got to get on with it, haven't you? And so
there was I don't know if I should have done this, but you must have come across observation cells where people are, they're at sufficient risk of self-harming that there's bars, but there's no steel. There's steel bars, but there's no door. Perspex, I think it is. And there's an officer just keeping an eye on watching the person to just make sure that they don't self-harm. Those rooms, they have to be harsh for the person's own safety. There can't be anything in them because they could use it to harm. So there's usually a bare bed, maybe one bit of furniture. There was a guy in there just hugging his knees, rocking backwards and forwards, and clearly distressed. And I, just on the spur of the moment, I was walking past. I've always got a bag full of chess sets. Can you play chess? I can't pretend it was enthusiastic, but he did nod. At least he replied. And I asked the officer, and he couldn't have the set in there, but the officer got a packing case, set it up just outside the bars, put the chess set on it, and they started playing. And I came back about...
So did they, just so I understand, they played through the bars?
Through the bars, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I shouldn't really say this, but luckily, one of the previous incumbents had kicked the perspex. So the perspex goes down three quarters, but the bit at the bottom...
Oh, okay, yes, I did wonder. I was like, how does that work?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so there was an area where...
I didn't think he was doing it, but it was actually perfect for chess.
Yeah, how amazing.
But I came back, and there were two officers, and they were just chatting about, should he move the bishop or the knight, something inconsequential, but it was so gentle. And that this is in basically a semi-basement in a Victorian prison in a cell that is designed you can't hurt yourself, so there's nothing in it. You've seen that, how harsh that is. But the gentleness of the officers and the harshness of the surroundings, I just wish you allowed a camera. But it was wonderful. Again, you just get fleeting glimpses. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether he carried on playing, whether, you know, how it turned out. But, it shows sort of, it was wonderful to see. What really struck in my mind there was just how gentle the officers were being. But with zero sentimentality. I've never seen anyone put their arm around someone and say, it'll be all right, mate, or anything like that. It's just, we've got a problem, can we solve it? Let's, you know, and it was wonderful to watch them, actually.
And I think, you know, this really speaks to, you know, human connection and how you get people to communicate. And it doesn't have to be through putting an arm around someone and saying, you're right, tell me what your problem is. It can be done in much more creative, indirect ways, which is why I always think it's such a shame that, I mean, it's great that you're in there doing what you're doing, and it's fantastic that there's some brilliant creative officers who get behind it and allow it to happen, because there's so many fantastic officers in the system. But I always think it's such a missed opportunity across the estate as a whole, the prison estate as a whole, that that isn't just what happens on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I do understand the logistical challenges behind that, but, you know, these are moments of magic that should be happening much more often.
I love the yoga. I've got real respect for the yoga people at Wandsworth who went in. Okay, it was awful for the prisoners and the officers during the pandemic, but it was hard to, when you've got bubbles and you can't mix and things, you can't even mix one side of a wing from another, to run anything was difficult. They went in through the hard times. It was wonderful to see that. And I just know, it's funny, we've got a bit of a running joke that whenever I do a chess club, they tell me how good the yoga is. Whenever I do a yoga club, they tell me the chess is... Oh, no, it's not competition at all. I love both. And, yeah, you've seen the beds. You probably need a bit of yoga to straighten you out. And so it's... I really respect those people. And it's totally different approach from chess. But it's, as you say, it's allowing connections, doing something constructive.
And communication.
The Quaker chaplain.
Not through talking.
It's just incredible. She gets in so much for the men. Glasses. She got 200 pairs of Poundline glasses, because so many go in, they really should have glasses when they're outside. They haven't got them. The light's not great. What have they got to do but read? So she takes in magnifying glasses. It was Black History Month, and we had some quite fiery texts from Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X, just as the thing they were reading to check their glasses. So there's all these guys there queuing up. She gets in pens. I think if you're anywhere near Wandsworth, Poundland won't have any pens because she buys them all to go in. She doesn't even play chess. She's given out hundreds of chess sets. So, and there's these wonderful jigsaw puzzles where the puzzle is not what's on the cover. It's what happens next. And she gives those out. And the men, what do you mean it's not the picture? You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, what am I meant to do with this?
It's going to take up time. It's fantastic. So I'm quite in awe of, I think you're right. In a perfect world, a huge amount would happen to allow connections, relieve boredom. It's wonderful what does go on. I think the yoga and the chaplains are amazing.
Yeah. If only it was more consistent across the estates, because it sounds like, you know, where good things are happening, that's brilliant and should be applauded and should carry on. But it's a shame there's not consistency across all the prisons, isn't it?
Yes, we're working on it.
Exactly. One day, Peter, we'll get there. Listen, it's been so uplifting talking to you, and I never thought I'd talk about chess for a whole 45 minutes. So thank you so much. And if people were interested to learn more about your work and chess, where's the best place for them to find you?
Chess in Schools and Communities, the website. There's a huge amount on there. There's a contact number.
Great. Yeah, and we can put that in the footnotes of
absolutely.
The podcast so
yes.
that people can find that.
Yes.
Great. And just thank you so much for educating me on chess.
We'll have to get you in to one of the clubs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not very good, but I would happily come in and embarrass
just even
myself.
Better. They like winning.
Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Links relevant to this episode can be found in the pod notes below. If you enjoyed listening, we would love it if you would subscribe. Also rate, review, and best of all, share this episode. Justice is produced for One Small Thing by the London Podcast Company.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.